This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. When American troops venture onto foreign soil, one of the military's chief objectives is to bring them all home alive. But what if achieving that goal means releasing American enemies from prison? The White House faced just that dilemma when it brokered a deal for the freedom of American POW Bo Bergdahl. The president announced Bergdahl's release at the Rose Garden on Saturday.
This morning, I called Bob and Jannie Bergdahl and told them that after nearly 5 years in captivity, their son Bo is coming home.
But the homecoming came at a price.
As part of this effort, the United States is transferring five detainees from the prison in Guantanamo Bay to Qatar. The Qatari government has given us assurances that it will put in place measures to protect our national security.
The deal raises questions about prisoner exchanges in the war on terror. We're taking your phone calls. We want to know your thoughts about this deal. We're particularly interested in hearing from those currently serving in our military and our veterans. But we're taking calls from everybody, so give us a call at 877-962-9862. If you want to join this conversation, first we're going to hear from NPR Pentagon correspondent Tom Bowman, who's been covering the Bergdahl release. Tom, welcome. Good to talk with you.
Good to be with you, Frank.
Let's give us the background. Tell us a little bit more about Bo Bergdahl.
Well, Bo Bergdahl was stationed in Paktika province, hard against the Pakistan border back in 2009. He arrived in May. And then on June 30th, 2009, he was at Combat Outpost Mest. And he apparently just walked away from this combat outpost. About a month later, Taliban video was released, and he was saying in that video that he was lagging behind a patrol when he was captured by the Taliban. But interviews I've done with his fellow soldiers and also a classified report that came out in 2010, both say that he actually walked away of his own volition. So that's what happened to him. And then just a couple of days ago, of course, he was released by the Taliban in Host province to some Green Berets. And they whisked him away. First went to Bagram Air Base, and then where he is now at Landstuhl in Germany. And he's expected to come back to Texas, to Brooke Army Medical Center, as early as this weekend.
And his release came in exchange for five Taliban fighters who had been held at Gitmo. What do we know about them?
Well, they're senior Taliban officials. We have an intelligence officer. We have a former provincial governor, deputy defense minister. They are hardened Taliban officials, and they will be heading to Qatar. They're there now, actually. And the Qatari government said they will hold them for 1 year. There'll be a one-year travel ban. And the expectation is they'll probably just head back to the fight.
What's the role of the government of Qatar in all of this?
Qatari government was a middleman here. They negotiated with the Taliban, with Mullah Omar, who's head of the Afghan Taliban. Bergdahl, however, was being held by the Haqqani network in Pakistan. They're sort of allied with the Taliban. It's more like a criminal network. So they were the ones holding him, and they were the ones who, of course, released him as well in exchange for the five Taliban officials.
All right. Bergdahl captured in 2009. The White House makes the decision last week. We hear about it, of course, all in the news this week. Why now? What made this decision? What made this deal possible now?
Well, the White House says that his health seemed to be deteriorating. There was a classified video that has not been released. And the senators who saw it last night, a number of them said he just looked very, very bad in real rough shape. So they said they wanted to make this deal now because they were concerned about his health. And also, I think that as the war is winding down, they wanted to reach out and see if they could do it. And also, the other side is the Taliban apparently approached them back in November about some sort of a deal. This had been going back and forth for some time now. Initially, the Taliban wanted $1 million and 21 Taliban fighters released. That shortly after they captured Bergdahl, and then it dropped down to five of these officials, Taliban officials, they wanted released, and that's, of course, what happened in the end.
As we said, ordinarily, the release of an American POW is cause for celebration across the board. This has raised a number of serious questions and complaints from a lot of quarters, one of them about the communication between the White House and Congress. So what's the protocol for something like this, and what are the complaints from the Hill?
Well, first of all, the White House is supposed to give Congress a 30-day notice before they make any transfer like this. That was clearly not done. White House talked about the urgency of the situation, that they had to move quickly. And then they later called certain senators on the Hill and apologized for not providing that 30-day notice. I believe Senator Dianne Feinstein of California said what the White House did was illegal. So there'll be some hearings on this next week. Senate Armed Services Committee, I know, is holding a hearing. And there'll be a lot of talk about what happened here and why. The other issue, of course, is the circumstances about Bergdahl himself. You know, clearly, from what I've learned, is he walked away from his post. So what charges, if any, he will face once he goes through his reintegration process? Both the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, and General Ray Odierno, Army Chief of Staff, said, listen, the first thing we have to do is get him home, make sure he's healthy, and then after that, we'll investigate and determine what, if any, military laws he broke.
The soldiers who spoke with him have been outspoken. You have spoken with a number of them who have complained about Bergdahl and said that he wasn't trustworthy and are convinced that he walked away. Let's hear from one of those you spoke with.
He's really frustrated with how the United States Army was handling the war in Afghanistan. He's really frustrated that he's just upset with the whole process, that we weren't doing anything, or that it was bad, and that we, you know, it was just kind of ridiculous, the things that they have us doing.
Who was that, and how representative was he of the people you talked with?
I believe that was Sergeant Evan Buto who was talking there. The issue was that he wanted to do more to help the Afghan people, apparently. He didn't think they were doing enough to help them. So that was his complaint. And Rolling Stone did an article on Bergdahl a couple of years back, two, 3 years ago, and emails that apparently he sent to his family, and he had similar concerns there. He said, the Army's a joke. I'm ashamed to be an American. Very down on the U.S. mission in Afghanistan. Again, I thought, from what I understand from reading the story and again talking with soldiers, is that he just didn't think the mission was doing enough to actually help the Afghan people.
And so we've got Congress upset that they say the president wasn't communicating well enough. People in the Army saying not only was he may have walked away from his post when he was captured, and that a lot of people, a number of soldiers were killed in the aftermath in the search for Bergdahl. That's also part of this complaint about Bergdahl himself. The Army has done an investigation into this. Isn't that right?
That's right. They completed one back in 2010. It's called an Army 15-6 investigation. It was done by the command there. And I'm told from those who have read the report, again, it's still classified, that they concluded that he did indeed walk away from his post on his own volition. And that it's interesting that soldiers told investigators that he had done this on two other occasions, once at the Army Training Center at the National Training Center in the Mojave Desert of California, and then once again in Afghanistan. And on both occasions, they said that he walked away for a number of hours, kind of hiked up into the hills or walked away, and then eventually returned. And I'm told that in the Army report that was done back in 2010, they couldn't determine whether he was a deserter, which means you have the intent to leave and never come back, or based on prior incidents, whether he just kind of went AWOL, absent without leave, and wanted to come back. But, of course, he was grabbed by the Taliban and then held for 5 years.
Another source of controversy around this exchange is the videotape that was taken of the exchange. Tell us about that.
Well, the videotape shows basically what we were told by the Pentagon, that a number of special operations commandos arrived. They were met by the Taliban. He arrived in a pickup truck. He looked fairly healthy, but he kept blinking quite a bit, too. And we're not sure why he was doing that, if he wasn't, in fact, in bad health. He walked under his own power, although a bit haltingly, to the Black Hawk helicopter. The Green Berets, or Special Operations Commandos, were patting him down to make sure he didn't have any explosives on him. There was a Taliban guy there with holding a white flag. Other Taliban were clearly armed with AK-47s. They put him on the helicopter, and it was over in a matter of minutes.
One complaint that, the video obviously made its way onto the Internet, and I guess there was at least one complaint that some of the special ops forces were visible, their faces were visible, and suddenly outed as a result of this exchange.
Right. I'm not sure if you could really see their faces that clearly, but clearly, you know, there's no question that when you're out with, we've been out with Green Berets many times, and they do not want you to take their photo straight on, full face photo. Sometimes they'll let you take a profile shot or so forth, but they don't want to be photographed. There's no question about it.
All right. We're talking about the Bo Bergdahl release today on the state of things and taking your phone calls. When we come back, we'll start taking some of those calls. 877-962-9862 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. Tom Bowman is here, NPR Pentagon correspondent. We'll talk with some members of the military, some veterans, and take your calls on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us. This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stasio. We're at the American Tobacco Historic District, and we're talking about the release of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. We want to hear your thoughts. Call us at 877-962-9862. We're going to get to your calls in a moment, but I want you to meet a couple people first. From Jacksonville, North Carolina, Paul Levesque. Paul's a retired Marine and the president of Rolling Thunder, the NC5 chapter. He joins us now. Hello, Paul.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Tell us about Rolling Thunder. It's an organization to raise awareness about POWs, right? And you have had efforts around Sergeant Bergdahl before now, right?
Yes. Our main mission is to educate the public concerning our many thousands of missing and unaccounted for from all wars. And our main mission, of course, is public awareness and letting the public know and our government know that we're not going to forget these people. We advocate for their return to American soil where they belong. And as far as the Bo Bergdahl, we have advocated for awareness of him, in any event that we do, whether it be a missing man table ceremony or a POWMIA flag raising ceremony. We make sure we mention that, here's a live POW currently being held by the Taliban.
In fact, you've got you had billboards up in Jacksonville in that area, right?
Well, yes, there was a billboard up in Jacksonville, but we cannot take credit for putting that billboard up. That billboard was actually put up by two organizations. One of them was an organization called POWBracelets.com, and the other one was BringBoHome.com. So these were two private entities that actually did some billboard campaigns throughout the United States, and Jacksonville, North Carolina happened to be picked as one of their locations to put that billboard up. So we made the public aware of the billboard as far as when we knew it was up here, and of course the media got involved and did a nice story on the billboard and Bergdahl himself. But there probably has been other organizations and chapters of Rolling Thunder that have done billboards, but I can't take credit for that particular one.
I want to go to the phones right now. Benjamin is on the line from Raleigh. Hello, Benjamin.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I agree with Sergeant's decisions to leave his post, and I am former military. I went AWOL and was dishonorably discharged proudly. And I believe that if the military made better efforts to counsel and release unmotivated soldiers who are showing signs of desertion or a desire to withdraw, a lot of these problems could be prevented. And a lot of people who are forced to stay in the military, it leads to a lot of mental illness in their lives upon return to the United States, and it puts a lot of pressure on our society. I think I'm a believer that the U.S. Should not occupy foreign countries for non-humanitarian efforts, and it's an unethical practice, and I just wanted to show my support.
Well, I thank you for that, Benjamin, but I have to say it really has not been firmly established that he left. I want to talk, introduce you now to Monica Cash. I'll give you a chance to respond to that, but I want to introduce you to Monica Cash now. She's a Navy veteran, and she serves as chair of the POW MIA committee for the North Carolina American Legion. Monica, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here today.
I don't know if you want to respond directly to what Benjamin said, but I know there's still there are a lot of serious questions about whether or not Bo Bergdahl actually walked away, or the circumstances under which he was captured. You've got some radio traffic there that at least raises a couple of questions.
Yes, I have the Dust One report that was sent to me.
What is that? What report is that? What does it mean?
It's an action report. It's an after-action report that the Army put out after the initial time that they looked for Bo Bergdahl. They did intercept radio traffic that said that Bo was in, they were attacking the hill, and that Bo was going to the bathroom. They captured him, and they joked about the fact that they didn't even give him time to clean himself up. And
now that's in the after-action report, where they're reporting on him being in a makeshift restroom. He was going to the bathroom at the time.
Yes. He had just gotten off duty on his shift, and I can't speak specifically to it because I wasn't there. I can just give you what's in the Dust One report. Initially, there was a call from others to take his head off. It's also in the report. But they decided that because there were so many people looking for him, that he must be someone of import.
The they, meaning the Taliban, his captors.
The Taliban, yeah. Yes.
And again, the report is pretty clear that he was indisposed at the time that he was captured.
Yes, and this I received this, and this is the report that the family believes.
Well, I want to go back to Paul now, because you've been on the line, and I guess a huge part of the controversy over this, Paul, is Paul Levesque, is whether, you know, sort of who this man was and whether or not he went away. Should that play any part in this question of whether to bring somebody back? And there's another whole question, under what circumstances, whether you make a trade. But we're going to leave that off the table for a minute and ask whether how you feel about the issue of his possible desertion as any part of the discussion about bringing him back. Paul Levesque?
Yes. All I can say about that is I believe, after talking to in my own personal and talking to other veterans, that, you know, most of us feel that we're happy that he's back in American custody. Obviously, this war was going to end tentatively at the end of this year, and I guess now I don't know what the president's got on his mind. But you know, we almost left two in Iraq, and those two actually came back. Their bodies were returned prior to after we pulled out of that war. But so it, you know, in my mind, it's we can't leave anybody behind. That's what we strive for, regardless of any circumstances. I mean, the Court of Military Justice, the Army, our lawmakers, they have to sort all this stuff out. I'm not going to get into any type of debate over what transpired leading up to his captivity or anything beyond that, because I don't really have the facts. And I personally, I don't know anybody that can actually speak factually to any circumstances. The mainstream media is full of it. You can develop your own opinions and come to some conclusions, but I'm not going to do that. I just feel that, you know, he's been gone for almost 5 years. He wasn't a household name until now. And we wanted the public, that was our mission, was to make the public aware that, hey, look, we've got a POW over there being held against his will. He's classified as a POW. We need to bring him home.
877-962-9862 is the number to call. I'm sorry to interrupt, Paul. I want to get some callers in here as well. 877-962-9862 if you want to join our conversation. And joining us now is former Delta Force officer James Reese. He is now the CEO of the global security firm based in Raleigh. James Reese, welcome.
Good morning.
Tell us about your initial reaction to this deal.
Well, you know, like the gentleman just said, you know, Sergeant Bergdahl was not on everyone's radar screen for the last several years. And, you know, all of a sudden now that the exchange has happened, he pops back up, and now all the the different courses of action of what happened and the back and forth politics begin. My biggest reaction to it was when I started to see the possible, and I want to point out the possible aspects of desertion. I just wonder why that didn't pop up 5 years ago or 4 years ago. And maybe it did. Maybe it just wasn't on everyone's radar screen. And unfortunately for all these things, they fall down the priorities of what people are looking for. The one piece I would always ask for is I know that once an event like this happens, the Army or most of the military, they have an investigative aspect. And in the Army, they call it a 15-6 investigation. And it's a commander's inquiry. And they bring someone from the outside who's a third-party person who comes in and looks at all the facts. Sometimes the facts don't, there's some missing facts. Then there are some assumptions made. And again, just like any assumption, you need to turn that into a fact or that assumption has to be thrown out. And then finally, that officer who is based on integrity and looking at just the facts and giving the command, an audit of what happened, for lack of a better term, he comes out with a recommendation. And that would be interesting to see where that is. And my only concern would be is if the facts come out that says, hey, he was taken, hey, absolutely. If the facts came out that some officer made based off everything and said, hey, we think he might have deserted, well, that becomes a whole other factor. My concern is why wasn't that brought out initially? But secondly, I am happy that the young man is home to his family. But if that is the fact, then there are second and third order effects now that the Army and the military must make to look into this.
Monica Cash, you've been in touch with the family throughout much of this time, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
What was their reaction when they heard this news, certainly?
They are elated.
Yeah.
They're just elated. They are not opening to the press at this time. I did ask them for a statement, but they are not giving one. But, you know, what people need to realize is that the American Legion has a POW MIA advocacy, as well as Rolling Thunder. They do fantastic work in this area. And our job is to educate and advocate for all POWs and MIAs. Bo was listed as a POW. It was our job to advocate, keep him in the press as much as possible, not let him be forgotten, and strive to have him brought home. We did our job. Bo is home. And there's no room for speculation here on the part of the American public, because I'm pretty sure it's still evident that you are innocent until proven guilty. And I don't know who decided to throw that away this last week. But we did our job, and now it's up for the Army to do theirs and really feel that people should reserve their judgment until the Army has completed their investigation.
Let's go back to the phones now. Jean is on the line from Chapel Hill. Hello, Jean.
Hi. I just wanted to say, in accordance with what you've just been hearing, but it seems to me people just rush to judgment, and why, like on CNN and all, they have hours and hours of maybe this, maybe that. Why don't we just wait for the facts, and then we can... Yeah, then he can judge. But, I mean, they won't even let him have their hometown welcome because of threats. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. Find out and then let the Army take care of it.
Thank you for your call. Well, and all the facts. I mean, I have to say, Monica, that is the very first time I've seen that evidence, the after-action report that you've heard. Tom Bowman, I think you're still on the line with this NPR Pentagon correspondent. We have here, and we'll get a copy of it one way or another, but I suspect Monica is going to let us use it and put it on our website as well. It's pretty darn clear that from the after-action report, here was somebody who was not walking at all because his pants were down around his knees when he was taken prisoner. This is brand new information. Had you seen anything like this?
Have not heard about that. And presumably he was outside his combat outpost, correct? He was, when this occurred.
Well, Tom, it was a hilltop with 24 young men on it, and they were sleeping in sleeping bags in a dugout. I'm sure you're probably more familiar with this than I am.
Yeah, hard to know. It's just new information. I just mean it's new information. That's really the point. We can't make a judgment here any more than anybody else can. But it is. I just want to point out that this is somewhat new. And I want to go to you, James Reese, who is the CEO of Tiger Swan in Raleigh, and a former Delta Force officer. You know, there have been reports about all of the kind of activities and pronouncements that Bergdahl had been making. He didn't like the what the Army was doing. He didn't like his mission. He didn't like being in there. What happens in a unit, in an Army unit, when people are voicing this kind of reservation? How long do you keep a guy like that with you? It seems to me you're kind of a security threat if you're talking that way. But I don't know what the protocols are in the military. Can you tell me, James?
Well, you know, first thing, one thing I used to mentor my young officers for when I was a commander, and I used to joke and say, you know, if you don't have dissension in the ranks, there's something wrong. And let's remember, you know, Bo Bergdahl he's just a young soldier, young man from Idaho when this first started out. And, you know, they get over there, they're in a combat outpost. So things like that don't necessarily, and again, this is from an armchair quarterback perspective, okay? But the comments like that really don't bother me as a commander. You know, if there's comments and actions that go along, then there's things, whether they're chaplains, the first sergeants, there's other aspects in the military to dig into these paces. And then commanders have to watch these. And there's lots of tools out there for commanders to use to, you know, evaluate that soldier. And then, if necessary, you know, remove that soldier if need be.
Another important question in all of this, of course, is whether or not the United States should have traded five Taliban leaders who, by all accounts, were dangerous people and important people to the Taliban. The Taliban is thrilled to have them back, by all accounts. What do you think about that, James Reese? Should we have done it?
No. Bottom line is that right there is the biggest mistake we've made across the board. I'm glad Sergeant Bergdahl's home, his family's home. Like I said, all those other facts, assumptions will wash out. However, the fact for this is as soldiers deploy, they know that if we get captured, we all know that the United States is not going to negotiate with the other side for this peace. We know that when we go in. Some of us are trained for a little higher standard for these pieces, but at the basic levels, we all know these type of aspects. My concern now is that we have changed our policy, and that the policy could affect future soldiers and current soldiers in, or folks in the State Department or wherever who are overseas, that this now looks like an opening that other organizations could take and affect the U.S.
And the only thing I would point out, just for historical accuracy, the change took place in the Reagan administration during the Iran-Contra affair, when Ronald Reagan began negotiating with a man he called a terrorist and sold weapons to the Ayatollah Khomeini secretly to get help in the release of seven hostages held in Lebanon. So Ronald Reagan was negotiating with terrorists and the enemy of the United States back in 1985. That opened the gate, but I take your point that this is a continuation of that policy. And Monica set a precedent. How do you feel about that, the fact that we've done this, we've made this negotiation?
These type of negotiations have been done for quite some time, but usually at the end of a conflict. Most of the Vietnam POWs that I know and have talked to really fully did not anticipate that this deal would happen until the end of hostilities. And to be just my personal opinion, I didn't think it would happen until the end of hostilities either. I don't know what was on the president's mind when he made this decision. I just hope and pray that they are kept in Qatar for the next year. After 10 years in captivity, I don't think that they would be viable to the Taliban for some time until they're vetted and the Taliban feel that they can trust them again. But I think now maybe part of our job should be to demand of Congress and Senate that all of our troops are out by the end of 2014 to leave the country entirely before any more of these people are released.
Paul Levesque, how do you feel about that?
Well, getting back to the exchange, I this hasn't been a real secret. It's been in the media several times that there's been ongoing negotiations to release these same five, in exchange for our Bo Bergdahl. And I just never thought it would happen. I was actually surprised it happened. My reaction was just a big surprise. I didn't think our government would let it happen. And I think if it would have went through another process, maybe the outcome would have been different. But, you know, all I can say is I'm surprised it happened, and I think there's a firestorm about it. But, again, You know, he's home. Now we've got to move forward and you know, sort this out. And you know, as I said before, the media's on this 24/7. I mean, you can't turn the TV on without seeing Bo Bergdahl's face on there, and you can't help but seeing the different lawmakers, you know, just on both sides discussing this issue. So, you know, I just bottom line here is I'm happy he's home, but I just am very surprised that we went to these lengths to get
Paul Levesque, thank you very much. Retired Marine and president of Rolling Thunder, the NC5 chapter. James Reese, former Delta Force member and CEO of the Raleigh-based Tiger Swan security firm. Monica Cash, Navy veteran. She serves now as the chair of POW-MIA committee with the North Carolina American Legion. And Tom Bowman, NPR's Pentagon correspondent. I want to thank each and every one of you for being on the program. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Coming up on The State of Things, a book about a little-known environmental disaster. Stay with us.